Can you hear me? Yes, you can. Woo. All right. Today is Sunday, the 7th of May. The year is going just like that. And I'm so glad that you could all join us this morning. Welcome to all our... oh, my goodness, what's going on here? Okay, here we go. The computer's playing up. Right on. We're on. All right. So this past week, we had the privilege of going to the C3 conference in Brisbane. And my takeaways just from that conference is that God is doing things, and there seems to be a great hunger for the Lord. I know on Thursday morning, was it Thursday morning? Yeah, it was Thursday morning. We went to, they were at a 6:30 prayer before the day begins. They had a 6:30 prayer for 1 hour. And we were in a church called IC Church, and it was packed. It was packed. I think the total, I don't know how big the church that, where the conference was being held, how many people it held. Let's just say 500 for argument's sake. In that church on the Thursday morning at 6:30, there would have been over 150 people. Easy. Over 150 people. Now, when I looked across all the sea of people that were there, something told me that there is just a general expectation level for the things of God has begun to increase in this country and possibly across the world, that people want to see a genuine move of God in their lives. Amen? And that just really inspired me. You know, I know that we were there with Pastor Charlie and Pastor Nami was there. It was just, for me, it was like, man, the time to play games is over. We need to start taking some ground. We need to start standing in the authority that God has given us. Amen? So next year, the C3 Global Conference will most likely be in Singapore. And so that's going to be, okay, I'm just trying to make sure that I'm in the middle here. Because, you know, I can get a bit weird if it's not in the middle. All right, I'll survive. But one thing I want to do before I go on, so next year, May 2024, the global conference will be in Singapore, and I think that's going to be everyone across all the C3 churches across the world will be gathering in Singapore. And so once we get more information, we'll sort of like pass that out for those that may think of, you know, going to Singapore for a conference, but also for a little holiday. And so we'll do that. Once we get the information, we'll pass that information out. Over the last 2 weeks, we've heard two amazing messages from Helen and Steve Coppin. My personal takeaways, and one of the things I genuinely encourage everybody is that if somebody gets up and gives a message, make sure that you give them some specific feedback about what you took away. Because when you do that, it really pumps them up. Maybe when they gave the message, they could have spent maybe an hour preparing. But if you encourage them, next time they might spend 2 to 3 hours because they're thinking, my goodness, if somebody got something out of it, then they also become motivated to seek the Lord. Amen? Now, I'm not suggesting they only spent an hour. They probably spent more. I'm only giving an example here. The takeaway is for me that we are carriers of hope. Hope helps us focus on future possibilities rather than our current realities. So I am a carrier of hope. Wherever I go, there is something that I carry, and it is the presence of God within my life. Amen? Say, I'm a carrier of hope. Yes. And then last week we heard, do things in partnership with Christ. Steve Coppin, as he was speaking, said, do things in partnership with Christ. But the one thing that really got me from that message was plateaus. That we all sometimes reach a plateau in our lives where things are just flat. There's no momentum. Things are just, you know, we're just grinding. And sometimes life can get the best of us and we plateau. But I want to say this morning there are some areas where we should not plateau. And that is in our prayer life and is in our studying of the Word of God. There should be no plateaus in those areas. But guess what? Those are the two areas that are first to go whenever you reach a plateau. And so I found that very encouraging. And so prayer and the word is something that we cannot do away with. Next week, of course, we've got Pastor Nami, Mother's Day. Please invite your friends and family. Tell them that you're going to take them out to lunch or a late brunch afterwards as they come, and get to hear the word of God spoken by Pastor Nami. And then, of course, we've got Cherry Schroeder the following week. And again, invite your friends. If there's anything that's good for people to hear, is the word of God. Because when they hear it, then faith would begin to arise on the inside of them, and God begins to do something. Amen? Can I say something? That worship experience was absolutely amazing. Psalm 28. Did anybody get that? Powerful. If we don't do anything, if I shut the laptop now and say church is finished, that's enough. I think you've got what you needed to get. That be encouraged in the Lord. That you have to encourage yourself in the Lord when things get tough. That it's not about waiting for somebody else to pep you up and just to give you a boost. You can do that yourself, because as you begin to listen and to speak the word of God for your life, it will do something for you. Amen? Let's give our worship team a wonderful hand of applause. And of course, I just want to thank the Lord for all of you and for what God is doing in your life. We were supposed to have started a series today on the Ten Commandments and whether they're still relevant in our world today. But this morning I felt, as I sent the message to Miss Claire over the week on Friday, that I think I've got something else stirring on the inside of me, some encouragement that I would like to bring to us today on conquering faith when facing giants of all kinds in our lives. How many of you know that sometimes we face giants in our lives and we don't know what to do with those giants? On Friday morning, it was I who booked a 6 o'clock flight for the return from Brisbane to Perth. So it was very early. We had to get up at 3 o'clock. And as we were on the plane, you know, before they allow you to, you know, you got to turn the flight mode on, I check my WhatsApp and I get a message from one of my friends. It wasn't him who sent the message, it was his brother. In fact, the previous day he sent a message, and the message said that, I had sent him a message. I sent him a message to say, I borrowed you some money last year. Can I please have my money? And so he never responded. And I'm wondering, like, what the heck is going on with this guy? Anyway, his brother sends me a message, and he says, this guy is at a medical event in his life, and he's in hospital. And he said that, and so I'm wondering, okay, so what happened? And he says he had a stroke, and all memory, all speech is gone. Now, I sat there in seat 4A or 4F, thinking to myself, what do I do? You know, a lot starts going through your mind. Oh, this is not good. This is really not good. But what do I do? And I, you know, all of a sudden, you start thinking of your friend, you know, and I love this guy dearly. He's one of my best friends. And I just want to read the message that, you know, I got a bit discouraged thinking, what's going to happen? I can't imagine, you know, my friend being completely paralyzed forever. And then I sent this message, because now I'm starting to get really ticked off. I sent the message, and I sent it to him, and then I said, please speak these words to him. Hi, Mr. So-and-so. It's your friend, Stephen Magwenzi. I speak healing into your body in Jesus' name. The devil is a liar. Let memory and your speech return to full function in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Son of David. I don't know why I added the Son of David bit, but I was reminded of Bartimaeus, who was blind and who heard that the Lord Jesus Christ was passing by. And he said, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And all of a sudden, the Lord stopped. And we know the story, what God did. Jesus came and Bartimaeus was able to have his sight restored. I just put that because now I'm saying I'm calling on the higher power. The God that is more powerful than anything in our lives, I'm calling on him to come and to act on behalf of my friend. When we are faced with things in our lives, sometimes it's very easy for us to become intimidated, to become paralyzed by fear. And I recall a story when I was in 1990, I was in Form 1 at Prince Edward School, and I was probably about this tall, not a big guy, maybe just that. I wasn't a big guy, very skinny. There used to be a guy who always used to pick on me. He always used to pick on me at school. I always used to wonder for what reason this guy would pick on me. So one day, just before the siren goes at 1 o'clock to signal the end of school, we went out for observation in science. You know, when you look at the leaves and then you photosynthesis, all that kind of stuff. And so somebody reported to the teacher and said, excuse me, sir, there are some guys who've remained in the classroom. And so everybody started saying, oh, these guys are stealing all our stuff in our bags that we've left in the class. And so we all made fun of it. And then they eventually came outside to join the whole class. And they said, you know, you guys are thieves. Now, everybody said it. It wasn't just me. So the siren goes, and the class is finished. And I'm on my way out. I grab my bag. I'm about to leave. And he just comes and pins me against the wall. And he says, you were calling me a thief. And I said, dude, everybody was calling you a thief. Why are you picking on me? Something on the inside of me that day just said, you know what? I've had enough. I've had enough of you picking on me. I don't know what came over me. I really don't know what came over me. I grabbed him by the scruff of his neck and I turned him to the wall and I said, right, today we're going to go and fight. And so we, now, you know, when it's young 13, 14-year-old boys, everybody's amped. Fight, fight, fight. You know, everybody's super happy to go and see the fight. And as we go, we start walking. There used to be a place, we used to go to the squash courts. Behind the squash courts is where everybody used to fight. But they said, no, today we are going to fight in one of the avenues. And so, okay, we're going to the avenues. And so here we are going. He's got his entourage. I've got my own entourage. And I can hear the guys on my side say, oh, you know, and they're speaking to him, you're going to get kicked today. He's going to beat you up. And those other guys are saying, ah, you're going to get beaten up. We traveled nearly a kilometer away. And you know, normally what happens is that by the time we got there, the adrenaline to fight had just evaporated. And so the desire to fight is no longer there. So what one very gracious guy did, he took a mound of sand, because it was a bit sandy. He took a mound of sand and he put one pile together, and he put another pile together, and he says, this represents your mother's head, and this represents your mother's head. We weren't using heads, we used other things to represent our mothers. And so he kicked my mother's head, and I then kicked his mother's head. And then now I'm saying, how dare you kick my mother's head? And so all of a sudden, the fight began. And then, you know, we started trading blows. And then at the end, some lady just opened the door and said, I'm going to call the police. And then the fight ended. And so, of course, some declared me the winner, and which I was very glad about. And off I went. But the step on the way home was very different, because now I knew that I had just beaten him when we're faced with issues in our lives, whatever it is, whether it's a medical report that we receive, whether there is a financial crisis that we're facing, whatever it is, it may come sometimes, and the reason it comes is to intimidate us. Up until we get to the point in our lives where we say, enough is enough, I am not going to let these things intimidate me. I am going to stand on the word of God so that I do not live in strife. God does not want us living in strife and in anxiety over things in our lives. Amen. So the next day, the guy comes and he says, look, we are going to fight again. And I said, that ain't happening. I beat you yesterday. That's enough. From that day onwards, he never picked on me again. Now, in the scriptures, in the book of Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 17, there's a story. There's a group of people that were the enemies of God. And this time, they were gathering for battle. And what they did is that they had the Philistine army on one side, then they had the Israelites on the other side. And Goliath, who was representing the Philistines, is this big, tall guy, and he's intimidating the whole army of Israel. Then it said, then a champion named Goliath from Gath came out from the Philistine camp. This is verse 4-7. He was 9 feet, 9 inches tall and wore a bronze helmet and bronze scale armor that weighed 125 pounds. There was bronze armor on his shins and a bronze javelin was slung between his shoulders. His spear shaft was like a weaver's beam and the iron point of his spear weighed 15 pounds. Imagine a 15-pound dumbbell. This is a big guy. In addition, a shield bearer was walking in front of him. Goliath, again, is instilling fear in the people's heart. He's intimidating them, and he's instilling fear. He stood and he shouted to the Israelite from verse 8 to 11, why do you come out to line up in battle formation? He asked them, am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose one of your men and have him come down against me. If he wins in a fight against me and kills me, we will be your servants. But if I win against him and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us. Then the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel today. Send me a man so we can fight each other. And when Saul and all Israel heard the words from the Philistine, they lost their courage and were terrified. This is what happens when we get the medical report that something is not good in our bodies. Easy for fear to come in and to intimidate and just cause us to be fretful. There was a guy when we were growing up, he was a tall guy, probably 6'11", 7 feet, big, big dude in Zimbabwe. And his name was Nyati. That was his name. And whenever anybody saw him, we would all run. Because what Nyati would do whenever you came close to him, he would just start searching your pockets without permission and taking whatever you had. And so if somebody says, here comes this guy, everybody would disperse to their homes. This is what Goliath was doing, intimidating people, that you feel you cannot be walking around freely. And so he was using an effective strategy to demoralize the army. He's using terrifying words. He's making a mental picture of them facing him one-on-one, and he's making them imagine how one-sided and pathetic is their situation. And so he's succeeding in tormenting them. And so he says he's insulting the army of their Lord, of the Lord their God. And so David in verse 26 says to the men who are standing with him, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Just who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Understand that just as I was being intimidated by that guy, there came a time where I said, enough is enough. And here we have a David saying, look, I've had enough of whatever this guy is doing. We need to put a stop to this. And I want to say to you this morning that whatever giant you're facing, I want you to say, who are you, giant, to defy the living God. If we are going to defeat and conquer giants, we need to have conquering faith. You see, Saul, King Saul, was the one who was supposed to face Goliath. It should have been his story. But Saul missed out on great things because of fear. Saul was, instead of conquering by faith, he was paralyzed by fear. And I don't know about you, it's quite easy. I would put myself amongst a group of other Israelite soldiers that were scared whenever they are facing the obstacles, whatever's coming their way. So he was paralyzed by fear. The enemy, because you're giving into the fear, you start to think the enemy is bigger and stronger than us, because now you're looking at the enemy against your own strength. So how can you be a David rather than a Saul? How do you conquer by faith instead of being paralyzed by fear? Number one, what you need to do is you need to know the Lord. Know the Lord. And compare your giant with God and not your giant against yourself. If I was to compare myself to that big guy, 9 feet, you know, that's probably nearly 3 meters tall, probably nearly 3 meters tall. If I was to compare myself to him, I would get intimidated. But I need to compare the giant against God, because God is bigger than my giant. So David cognitively knows who the Lord is. David said in verse 37, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." He says to the Philistine in verse 45, "You come against me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the ranks of Israel. You have defied him." The more we know our God, the more we'll be confident in the battle. It's very interesting that he used that term, the Lord Almighty or the Lord of Heaven's armies. You need to understand that what he's basically doing is that he's calling out and saying, God, there is nobody that is bigger, that is stronger, that is greater than you. And so I'm calling on you for you to come and to help us deliver us from this giant. In 1 Samuel, there's a lady named Hannah. Verse 9 says, once after a sacrificial meal, Hannah got up and went to pray. She couldn't have children. And Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly as she prayed to the Lord. And she made this vow, "O Lord of heaven's armies, if you look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I'll give him back to you." She was calling and saying, God, you are bigger than any situation in my life, and so I'm calling on you. Now, the words that she would have used is, you know, where we say Jehovah Jireh is the Lord our provider. She used Jehovah Sabaoth, which is the Lord of heaven's armies, the strong one who's bigger than anything. So whatever we're facing in our lives, we need to call on the name of the Lord. Amen? We need to remember what the Lord did in the past. If we're going to have a conquering faith, remember what he did for you. He could have healed you from the... he saved you, number one. Secondly, most importantly, he died for you. He saved you. And so we need to remember what he did in our lives if we're going to have a faith that is going to conquer. So David experientially knows what the Lord can do for his people. He recognizes the Lord as his personal deliverer. In verse 34 to 37 says, David answered Saul, "Your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, and rescued the lamb. This is the same God that is going to rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." He recognizes that the Lord as a fighter who fights his people's battles. We have to understand, people, that when we are facing obstacles, we need to take out the word of God and recognize that God fights for us. Because he declared in verse 46, "Today the Lord will hand you over to me. I'll strike you down, remove your head, and give the corpses of the Philistine camp to the birds of the sky. Then all the world will know that Israel has a God, and this whole assembly will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's. Amen. He will hand you over to us. And I just want to read Psalm 44, as I think I'll invite the team to start coming back up. Psalm 44. Let me turn to Psalm 44. Are you getting anything out of this morning? It says, "O God, we have heard it with our own ears. Our ancestors have told us of all you did in that day, in days long ago. You drove out the pagan nations by your power and gave all the land to our ancestors. You crushed their enemies and set our ancestors free. They did not conquer the land with their swords. It was not their own strong arm that gave them victory. It was your right hand and strong arm and the blinding light from your face that helped them, for you love them. You are my king and my God. You command victories for Israel. Only by your power can we push back our enemies. Only in your name can we trample our foes. I do not trust in my bow. I do not count on my sword to save me. You are the one who gives us victory over our enemies. You disgrace those who hate us. O God, we give glory to you all day long and constantly praise your name." It is not our own strength that you are going to get victory in your life when you face your giant. It is because, number one, God loves you. And because he loves you, he's going to come and help you defeat. You have to stand. There is a responsibility that we all have, is that when we are faced with our giant, it's not just going to be automatic. We have to start claiming the word of God, begin to speak the word of God, and we will begin to see things happen in our lives. Understand the weapons that you have. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power, love, and self-discipline." So yes, you might get a bad report, there might be some issues, but remember that it should not intimidate you. You recognize it for what it is. Okay, Lord, they've told me that I'm sick, but this is what I believe. This is what your word said. In Ephesians 6, it says, a final word, "Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor." Let's stand this morning so that you'll be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world and evil spirits in the heavenly places. Put on every piece because of the battles that we're facing, because of the enemies that we have. It says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so you'll be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for believers everywhere. I want to say this morning, when we face giants, it is the Lord that will help us prevail. In 1 Samuel 17, verse 28 to 29, it says, "And Eliab," this is David's oldest brother, "heard when David was speaking unto the men," he said, he heard David talk and was asking, what's going to happen to whoever beats Goliath? And the brother was very angry at him. He says, Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, "Why have you come down to the camp? And whom have you left those few sheep to in the wilderness? I know your pride and the haughtiness of thine heart, for you have come down that you might see the battle." And David said to the brother, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" And I want to say to you this morning, is there not a cause in your family? Is there not a cause that you're going to ask the question, that you're going to stand against your giants, that intimidation, that paralysis from fear, your family, for your family to be saved. I'm really believing for all our church family here, for all those family members that don't know the Lord, I am believing that they will come to the Lord Jesus. Amen. That there is a cause. There is a reason why God has placed us in this place at this time. There are people that need to come into the kingdom of God. Is there not a cause for us to stand and to fight? And so this morning, what we do is that we take the word of God and we begin to say to our giants, who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine, no matter what that giant is. And we're going to come to it, come against it in the name of Jesus. What I want to say to you about my friend is that I asked a brother yesterday, I said, my man, how is our friend going? And he said to me that, remember there was no speech on Friday morning? He said yesterday he spoke two words. Yesterday meaning 2 days ago, Friday. But he says today he has spoken five words. Now I can deal with three extra words, eh? When you haven't been speaking any words. That's a lot of words. All I'm saying to all of us is that we can face our giants. We can overcome them. That we do not have to be paralyzed by fear. And I don't know what giants you're facing in your family this morning that intimidates you. But as the worship team begins to sing, as we begin to worship, I just want you to come to the front. And as you come to the front, I'm beginning to declare that as you're taking those steps of faith, that giants in your life will begin to fall in Jesus' mighty name. That intimidation that you're facing will begin to fall in Jesus' name. And we'll just pray for you and just believe that the giants will fall in Jesus' mighty name.